Welcome back to the Deep Dive. It is Friday, January 30th, 2026.
Here we are again.
And if you're looking at your calendar thinking, okay, January's done, time to coast into spring, maybe pick up a new hobby, you need to stop right there.
Yeah, you really do.
Because we are standing on the edge of a cliff.
A cliff is a very polite way to put it. It feels more like we're standing on the beach staring at a tsunami.
A tsunami, exactly. We've been tracking the release schedules, the developer diaries, the leaks, and what is about to happen in February is not normal.
No.
Usually this time of year is, you know, the dumping ground for games that weren't quite ready for the Christmas rush.
Right, the ones that aren't quite big enough for the summer.
But this year, it is an absolute avalanche of AAA heavy hitters.
And it's not just the volume, right? We see big months all the time.
Sure.
It's the specific mood of this lineup. I've been analyzing the design docs and the marketing for the big four Resident Evil, Far Cry, Gears, Neo, and there is like a unifying theory here.
Okay.
I'm calling the theme of February 2026, Dark and Survival.
Dark and Survival. That sounds ominous.
It is. If you were hoping to spend February playing a cozy farming sim or, you know, organizing a virtual bookshelf with a cup of tea.
Wrong month.
You were in the wrong month. This is a month of blood, snow, resource scarcity, and chainsaws.
Which brings us to our mission today. We have a stack of huge releases. Some of these we've been waiting on for literally half a decade.
Feels like it.
And our job is to help you figure out what is actually worth your time and honestly worth your hardware.
Oh, definitely worth your hardware.
Because looking at the spec sheets for some of these, like my PC just shivered in fear.
It should be afraid. We're going to see some melted GPUs this month. But we also need to balance those massive blockbusters with what might be the most anticipated indie game in history.
The myth itself. We'll get there. But I want to start with this dark and survival thing you brought up.
Yeah.
Before we get into the specific games, why is the industry so obsessed with stressing us out right now? Is everyone just depressed?
Well, it's a little more complex than that. It's a fascinating shift in gamer psychology that analysts have been tracking.
Okay.
A huge part of this is being attributed to the massive cultural footprint of post-apocalyptic media in 2025. You can draw a straight line from the viewership numbers of The Last of Us Season 2 right to these decisions.
That makes sense. That show didn't just pull in gamers, it pulled in everyone. My mom watched it.
Exactly. And it cemented a shift in what audiences crave. For the last 10 years, I mean, think of it. Gaming was dominated by the power fantasy.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You know the drill. You're the super soldier. You're the god of war. You kick down the door, infinite ammo, everything explodes. You are the unstoppable force.
Right. The game exists to make you feel cool. You press X and you win.
Precisely. But the demographic in 2026 has pivoted. The trend now is vulnerability.
Vulnerability.
Players don't want to feel unstoppable anymore. They want to feel tension. They want to scrape by. They want that feeling of looking at their inventory and realizing they have two bullets and a dirty bandage.
And a whole city to cross.
A whole city full of monsters, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the difference between I can kill anything and I hope I survive the next 5 minutes.
That is the key distinction.
And the implication is that we're seeing, even traditionally, you know, arcade-style franchises pivoting hard to adopt these hardcore survival mechanics.
They're forcing you to struggle.
To feel weak, which sets the stage perfectly for the first big blockbuster we need to dissect.
Let's get into it. February 3rd, Capcom is kicking off the year with a nuclear detonation, Resident Evil Requiem.
This is the big one. This is the Titan.
I have to geek out on the lore for a second here because looking at the source material, this is the Avengers moment for the franchise.
It really is.
We finally have Jill Valentine and Leon S. Kennedy together in a mainline game.
It is. So the crossover fans have been demanding for, what, 20 years? You have Leon, who's that RE4 action era.
The suplexing zombies era.
Yes. And Jill, who is the face of classic survival horror. Bringing them together bridges the lore perfectly. But while the characters are the hook, the real story here is the technology.
The engine updates.
Yes. The RE Engine 2.0. Capcom is introducing a system they are calling procedural gore.
Okay, that sounds absolutely disgusting. But let's break that down. From a technical standpoint, how is that different from what we have now?
It is disgusting, but it's a technical marvel.
Right.
In previous games, if you shot a zombie with a shotgun, the game just triggered a pre-made animation.
Right, a canned effect. Head goes pop, arm falls off.
Exactly. It was a file playing a video, essentially. Yeah. You see the same headless animation 1,000 times.
And it stops being scary.
Right. In Requiem, The engine calculates damage in real time based on the physics of the projectile. It takes the bullet caliber, the velocity, the exact angle of impact, all of it.
So a glancing blow with a 9mm pistol will actually tear skin differently than a direct hit from a Magnum.
Disturbingly so.
Mm-hmm.
It's visceral. But it's not just for shock value. It serves that vulnerability theme. The previews are very clear. This isn't an action shooter like RE4 or Village.
It's return to claustrophobia.
A big one.
So we're back to inventory Tetris.
You bet. You are going to spend a lot of time staring at that briefcase, trying to fit a box of shotgun shells next to a green herb. Ammo is incredibly scarce.
Of course it is.
And the new AI director is reportedly smarter than ever. It analyzes how much ammo you have. If you're hoarding, it ramps up the aggression. If you're low, it might give you a break.
That is diabolical. So it's not just about aiming. It's about deciding, can I even afford to take this shot, or do I need to run?
Exactly. And that tension defines the start of the month. But if Resident Evil is making us count bullets, the next game is making us count seconds.
And this is the one I think has the biggest potential to either backfire or be a masterpiece.
I agree.
February 10th, Far Cry 7, Polaris.
This is the wild card. We all know the Ubisoft formula, right? It's basically a meme at this point.
Oh, yeah. Climb the tower, reveal the map, clear the outpost, craft a bigger wallet. It's comfort food.
It is. You know what you're getting.
Like fast food. It's fine, but it's not exciting.
Well, looking at the developer notes for Polaris, it seems like they took that recipe, set it on fire, and threw it off a cliff.
So they've moved the setting to the freezing wilderness of Alaska.
Yeah, which looks gorgeous, by the way.
Oh, totally. But the radical shift here is the structure. I'm reading this and it stresses me out just thinking about it. A strict 72-hour in-game time limit.
Yes. You have 72 in-game hours to rescue the protagonist's family from a militarized cult. And the clock never stops.
Wait, even when you're in a menu? Or exploring?
Time moves constantly. If you spend 20 minutes scrutinizing a weapon upgrade, you just lost 20 minutes of daylight.
Wow.
It adds a layer of persistent pressure that Far Cry has never had. You can't just clear every icon on the map because you physically don't have the time.
You have to choose what matters.
You have to prioritize.
That sounds incredibly stressful, but in a good way. It raises the stakes. And I'm seeing here they've gone full immersive sim on the interface.
They have. They've removed the HUD almost entirely.
No mini map.
No mini map in the corner. No floating go here markers.
Yeah.
You have to navigate using a physical compass you hold in your hand and actual landmarks, like turn left at the frozen waterfall, that kind of thing.
That is a huge departure. So if I get lost in a blizzard, I'm actually lost.
You are genuinely lost. And that is dangerous because they've added complex hypothermia mechanics. You have to manage your body heat. If you get lost in a storm without finding shelter or building a fire, you freeze to death. Game over.
Back to that vulnerability trend again. You aren't a superhero. You're just a person trying not to become a popsicle.
While fighting a cult, yes. Now, I do have to drop a tech check here for you if you're on PC, because this game sounds incredibly demanding.
Uh-oh. What's the damage?
It's the snow. Because of the dynamic snow physics, where snow accumulates and deforms as you walk, plus the AI simulation for the cult tracking you.
Right.
Far Cry 7 is extremely CPU bound.
So if I'm just looking at my graphics card, I'm missing the bottleneck.
Correct. You could have the best GPU in the world, but if you're running an older processor, I'm talking pre-12th gen Intel or a Ryzen 5000 series, you are going to struggle. The simulation will choke your CPU.
Good to know. Time for a motherboard upgrade, maybe. But speaking of upgrades, or rather legends returning... We have to talk about February 20th.
I still can't believe it's real. I'm looking at the date and I feel like it's a prank.
We need to pinch ourselves. Hollow Knight, Silk Song. The release date is actually here.
The myth is real. This game has been the Half-Life 3 of the indie world for years. People thought it was vaporware.
I remember when this was announced and the world was a very different place. But looking at the details, Team Cherry hasn't just been sitting around polishing textures.
Far from it. This is a massive evolution. This is the sequel to arguably the greatest Metroidvania ever made.
No argument here.
But the gameplay loop has fundamentally changed because of the protagonist. You're playing as Hornet now.
And she moves completely differently than the Knight from the first game.
Night and day. The Knight was grounded, deliberate, a little heavy. Hornet is made of silk. She is nimble, acrobatic, and significantly faster. The gameplay is so much more vertical.
Zipping through the air.
You can mantle, you can zip. It changes how you fight and how you explore everything.
And the scope of this thing seems massive. The notes say the world is double the size of Hallownest.
Double the size.
Yeah.
Over 150 new enemy types. And they've revamped the tool crafting system to fit Hornet's theme. It isn't just more of the same. It looks like a masterclass.
It's ranked here in our notes as the undisputed king for gameplay depth this month.
Without a doubt. If you care about mechanics, about the pure feel of controlling a character, this is the one. Nothing else in February comes close.
Now, here is where it gets interesting for the wallet. Silksong is on Game Pass day one, so subscribers technically get it for free.
Yes.
But you have a note here about the economics of this that surprised me.
I do. Look, you know me. I'm the frugal one. I love a deal.
You do.
But Teen Cherry is the most honest dev in the game. The game is $30. Mm. Even if you have Game Pass, I'm suggesting you buy it anyway.
Wow. The expert is saying, spend money you don't have to spend? That is a twist.
It's about voting with your wallet. In an era of $70 games with microtransactions and battle passes, here is a massive, handcrafted, complete experience for a budget price.
That deserves a purchase.
We need to signal to the industry that this is the business model we want.
I can get behind that. Vote for the good guys. Now, moving from beautiful 2D art to absolute photorealism.
Yeah.
We end the month on February 28th with a game that is just purely showing off. Gears 6.
This is the visual benchmark.
Yeah.
If you bought a high-end graphics card recently and have been waiting for something to really justify that purchase,
yeah,
this is it.
It's running on Unreal Engine 5.4, right?
Correct. And it is fully utilizing the two big tech leaps, Lumen and Nanite.
Okay, break that down for us. What does that actually mean for the person sitting on their couch?
Okay, so Lumen is fully dynamic global illumination. It means light behaves exactly like real life bouncing off colored surfaces, reflecting in real time.
So if I shine a flashlight on a red wall, the room glows red.
The whole room glows red. Flashlights in dark corridors will look terrifyingly real.
And Nanite.
Nanite handles geometry. In plain English, it means infinite detail. You know how in old games, if you looked at a rock up close, it got blocky or blurry?
Yeah, the hexagon rocks.
Exactly. Nanite eliminates that. Every pebble, every crack in the wall has perfect geometric detail. There's no low-poly version. The world looks photorealistic.
That sounds incredible. And story-wise, we're following Kate Diaz again.
Yes. Dealing with the fallout of the choice she made at the end of Gears 5. It's gritty, it's heavy, and it fits perfectly into that dark and survival theme. It's going to be emotional.
But with those visuals comes a cost. We talked about the CPU for Far Cry, but for Gears, and frankly for Resident Evil too, we need to talk GPU.
We do. Here's the reality check.
Huh.
If you want to run Resident Evil, Requiem or Gear 6 at 60 frames per second on high settings at 1440p,
yeah,
you are looking at an RTX 4070, or an RX 7800 XT as the recommended spec.
Ouch, that is a high bar. That was top tier hardware not that long ago.
It is. The days of the RTX 3060 being good enough are officially over with this batch of games.
Yeah.
And don't forget storage.
Right.
These textures are massive. You need a fast NVMe Gen 4 SSD. If you're still rocking an old SATA SSD or, God forbid, a spinning hard drive, you are going to have a bad time.
What happens? Pop in,
stuttering. Textures won't load. The game will freeze while it tries to fetch data. You just can't play these games on a hard drive.
So spring cleaning in February. Clear off those SSDs.
Absolutely.
Okay, we've covered the four titans, but February is absolutely stacked. Let's do a rapid fire round.
Let's do it.
I'm going to throw a tile at you. I want the aha. Remit?
Ready.
I was born ready. February 14th, Valentine's Day. Neo 3, Chronicles.
A bouquet of pain from Team Ninja. Setting moves to Three Kingdoms era China. The aha moment is fluid, stance switching. You can swap weapons mid-combo, start with a spear, switch to dual swords, end with a heavy axe. It is beautiful, balletic, and brutally hard.
Nothing says I love you like a you died scream. Next up, February 17th, Yakuza Kiwami 3.
The remake fans screamed for, built on the Dragon Engine. The key here is the contrast. You go from running a sunny, peaceful orphanage in Okinawa to the rainy, neon-soaked crime of Kamurocho.
The emotional whiplash is the point.
Totally. Plus, new heat actions that use the environment more dynamically.
February 25th, Destiny 3, Vanguard.
Bungie is independent again, and they are swinging for the fences. It's a hard reset, no more vaulting content. The hook is the prismatic system. It's multi-classing.
Oh, nice.
You aren't locked to solo or void. You can combine a void grenade with an arc melee and a solo super. It's total freedom.
That sounds chaotic and fun. And I know you had a few notable mentions you wanted to shout out.
Just a few. Stellaris 2 is coming, and the first contact scenarios are described as terrifyingly realistic.
Existential dread.
Exactly. Persona 6 drops on the 24th theme color is green, set in an art university, fighting the collective unconscious of perfectionism.
Same stuff.
Very. And Little Nightmares 3 introduces online co-op for the first time.
Dealing with the spiral with a buddy sounds like good therapy. Or a good way to lose a friend. Okay, we have a dozen incredible games, but not infinite money. Let's talk strategy. How do we protect the wallet?
This is where we have to be smart. If you are a Game Pass Ultimate subscriber, you just hit the jackpot.
Run down the list for me.
Hollow Knight, Silksong, Yakuza Kiwami 3, Gear 6, Little Nightmares 3, all day one releases.
I did the napkin math on that. If you bought those four separately, that's roughly $190.
Exactly. The subscription pays for itself instantly this month. It's a no-brainer. But there is a trap you need to avoid.
The upsell.
Resident Evil has a $90 deluxe edition that just gives you some costumes and a pistol that's useless after an hour.
Skip it.
And Far Cry 7 has a $100 survivalist edition. Avoid that like the plague. Ubisoft games almost always go on sale for 50% off within 3 months.
That is solid advice. Just buy the base game and wait.
Patience pays off.
So we've unpacked the trends, the tech, the budget. We're staring down a month of darkness and survival. If you had to pick just the top three, the podium finishers, where do you land?
It's tough, but okay. For pure gameplay, the kind that stays with you, it has to be Hollow Knight, Silksong, Undisputed King.
Agreed. A masterpiece in waiting.
For visuals, if you want to see what next gen really looks like, it's Gear 6.
The tech demo, that's actually a full game.
Exactly. And for atmosphere.
It's gotta be.
Resident Evil. Requiem. It captures that tension, that fear of the dark, perfectly.
I think that's a solid list. You know, looking at all of this, the shift to survival, the scarcity, the anxiety in these games, it does make you think.
It raises an important question. We've moved from power fantasy to vulnerability. Are these games just entertainment? Or is the industry unconsciously reflecting our own real-world anxieties in 2026?
Do we feel vulnerable in the real world, so we want to master it in the virtual one?
Maybe we're just practicing.
That is something to chew on while you're freezing to death in virtual Alaska.
Indeed.
Well, listener, you have your marching orders. Clean your SSDs, update your drivers, and good luck out there.
You're going to need it.
Thanks for listening to The Deep Dive. We'll catch you on the other side of February.